member of the Al-Anon Intergroup of Greater Dallas Area. Gene, our chairman, sends our regrets for being unable to be here with us tonight. First of all, we wish to thank the Irving AA Club for their gracious invitation to have this meeting at their club. We extend a cordial welcome to all our guests, especially those that are here from out of town. We're glad to have so many Alateens here. This is really great. As many of you here realize, the Intergroup sponsors an information center. Through this office, we were receiving many calls from concerned parents, from Al-Anons and AAs who are interested in the sponsorship of the Alateen program and what to do about it, from Alateens themselves who are questioning various aspects of the Alateen program. We were also receiving calls from social agencies, school counselors, and this outside other types of agencies regarding this program and its use and who would be eligible, etc. It became very apparent to Intergroup that something must be done to unify all the groups in this area and more important to get help. And more important, to get help to form a training program for the sponsors. Arbutus acted as our emissary and contacted Father Fred about the possibility of his being able to come here. So tonight we are grateful and fortunate to have him to speak with us. We're sorry that he was unavoidably delayed. Arbutus, would you please come up and introduce... Arbutus is our regional trustee for the western half of the United States. And... we are also proud to have her as one of our own Dallas Al-Anons. Here are Arbutus. Thank you, guys.
You know, I am just delighted. I hope every single one of you adults who are here will be a sponsor next week. Hi, little young'un. And I'm delighted that the Alateens will be here so that you won't feel like the grown-ups are trying to put something over on you. We really are, you know. We can't do it for you, but we're going to help you to help yourselves, and that's what this meeting is all about. I wish that I had about a half hour to tell you all the good things that I know about our speaker tonight, but I'm afraid if I do this, you'll throw shoes at me or something because you're so anxious to hear him. I think I will tell you a funny about him. You see, I'd known Father Fred for a long time. I knew him for several years before I met him. And this takes a little bit of explaining. Most of you know that I was the first delegate to World Service Conferences from the state of Texas. And when I went up there, I met the delegate from New Jersey, which is Father Fred's state. And this delegate from New Jersey had some very, very attractive bookmarks that had the Serenity Prayer and the Prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, which was our late Bill's favorite prayer. And I admired these bookmarks and wanted to get some to bring back to the Al-Anons in Texas. And he told me that he got them from a Father Fred Lawrence. And so I wrote to Father Fred and got these bookmarks. And I scattered them. Well, some of you still got some. Do you know of all those bookmarks that I brought back, I don't have one. So if some of you have two, would you please share? I gave them all away. And in writing to Father Fred, I formed a mental image of him. I've always prided myself that I can tell a great deal about people by the way they write. And so I just knew what Father Fred would be like by the things that he wrote. I knew he was an educated gentleman. I suspected that he'd had some training in professional writing, and I've since learned that he does have. I knew he was a poet. And so I formed this picture of him. I thought he would be a very reserved, scholarly gentleman. And then we had an opportunity to go to Canada to the 30th International AA Convention, and I was tickled to death when I learned that Father Fred was going to be there. And so Bill and I arrived in Canada, and we started looking for Father Fred. We separated so we could have twice as many people to look over. And every time I'd see a priest, I'd get down with my bifocals and read his tag, and it wasn't Father Fred. Never did find him, but I met some very interesting people. One priest from Australia that wanted to know about Appalachian horses and was most confused when we told him they were Appaloosa. But Bill finally found Father Fred. Of course, he was with the kids. He was up on the roof garden with the Alateens. And so Bill come towing Father Fred along so I could see him. And I have so hoped that Father Fred didn't hear me. Because you know what I said to him? I said, goodness, you don't look like a Catholic priest. You look like a misplaced football player. And that wasn't a very dignified remark. I was privileged to speak at Father Fred's group just a few days, actually, ago. They had their 10th anniversary for the Al-Anon family group in Lackawanna, the Lackawanna group in Sterling, New Jersey. That is kind of poetic, you know it, Lackawanna. And the Sterling Silver Butterfly that I'm wearing tonight was presented to me at this meeting, but it was purchased in Rome, Italy. So you all can't touch it, but you can look at it. And this is a present from the Sterling, New Jersey group. And I said to these people up there that I am poorly qualified to say whether or not our friend is a good priest. But I will say to you here tonight, as I said to those people in New Jersey, he is a good friend. He's a good friend to the O'Neills. And he's a good friend to Alateen. And with nothing else from me, I would like you all to welcome Father Fred.
Well, I'm happy to be introduced as a good friend. I'd like to believe I'm a good priest. And I really believe I was a pretty good football player in my day. So all of the things you've been saying are just about right, I hope. And it's real nice to be back in Texas and to be able to talk to you tonight. I'm sorry we put Bob Olson through such a sobriety test tonight to get here. And he said if I'd been drinking, we'd have hit it the first time around the corner. But we've been riding around, well, this part of Texas for the last hour trying to find this club. And, well, we're here. You just have to accept the things you cannot change, such as a former drunk being directed by a present confused Al-Anon wife and a daughter that knew where we were supposed to go to begin with and didn't say a word till we got good and lost and then started telling us how to get here. But it's nice to be here tonight. I came by this sort of left-handed. I was talking with our beautist about coming to Jersey for our anniversary that she's described, and she knew I was coming down here for our Serenity Retreat, which opens tomorrow night in Lake Brownwood at the Christian Fellowship Camp there. And she wanted to know, could I come in a day early? Would it be possible for me to come in a day early? And I checked my schedule, and I said, yes, it would. And she said they'd like to have this workshop, and could I come? I said, well, if you set it up, let me know. And I didn't hear any more from Arbutus. I heard from several other people that heard I was going to be here, but I didn't know I was going to be here. And when Arbutus finally came by, I guess she just assumed that if I could be there, I would be here. So here we are. Now, this was to be a workshop. I hope we're not too late starting. I would like to talk for a little while about sponsorship in Alateen and the way we have found it to be effective back in New Jersey, and then perhaps open the meeting to questions from you who are members of Alateen and you who are sponsors of Alateen and you who we hope aspire to be sponsors of Alateen. And my first remarks would be this, that all I'm going to do is exactly what we do in our fellowship, and that is to share experience, strength, and hope with you. We know, and you know, that we have no experts in our fellowships of AA, Al-Anon, and Alateen. I never did like that word, expert. I suppose you've all heard that definition of an expert. An X signifies an unknown quantity, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. So, I don't want to qualify as that. And all I can tell you, I'm not any authority. I've just been privileged to work with Alateen for the past 10 or 11 years and feel very honored. I've just come here from the first Southern California Alateen Conference, which thrilled me because I was instrumental in getting that one going, too. Even as we were helpful, or I like to think we were helpful, in getting TAC off the ground here in Texas. So we've been working with Alateen Conferences for about 6 or 7 years now, and we know what they mean to the teenagers, to the Alateens, and that is why we are so thrilled when another one gets started. I think I would like to direct some remarks, first of all, to the Alateens. As most of you know, you who are members of Alateen, Alateen began in Pasadena, California in 1957. I saw it in action for the first time at the International Convention in Long Beach, California in 1960. And I was very much impressed with what these young men and women were doing with their lives, their problems, their perplexities, their animosities, their adopting of a new way of life, their maturing. This impressed me very, very much. And so I went back east, and we started back there, the Lackawanna Alateen Group, which, well, we started it actually the same time we started Al-Anon, but we didn't know much about Al-Anon, and we knew less about Alateen, and so the Alateen Group didn't really function for the first year. It is now 9 years old. But I felt very privileged to be allowed to be in on the founding of that Alateen Group, and I sponsored it as best I could. As you perhaps know, I keep pretty busy. I do a lot of traveling, and so I couldn't be a regular sponsor, and we had to get a sponsor for our group. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. And then I became interested in these conferences that we have back east, and the conference we have in the east was started 10 years ago in 1961, and it's called ESAC, or the Eastern Seaboard Alateen Conference. It began in Wheaton, Maryland, the first year. The second year, they met in Baltimore. No, the second year, they met in Boston. The third year, they met in Syracuse. And the fourth year, they met in Philadelphia, and that's when I got on the bandwagon in Philadelphia. From 50 kids in 1961, just in 7 years, we went from 50 to over 700 kids. And it got to be, to tell you the truth, sort of a small Woodstock festival. We had kids coming loaded down with all sorts of guitars and God knows what that we never saw before. And we were afraid we'd never see again, and as it turned out, we didn't. But we had a real good thing going. We had a weekend with five meals, two live combos each evening, meetings galore, swimming pool, hedges to hop, trees to climb. And this doesn't mean much to you kids in Texas, but when you live in New York, you know, you've heard about the tree that grows in Brooklyn. They've got more than one. They've got about six. But there aren't many trees in Brooklyn or New York. So these city kids, they love to get out in the wide open spaces. And they love this college that we had in Haverford, Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia, Haverford, Pennsylvania. And so they came in droves. And we realized that a lot of them were there just there for the good time, and they weren't there for the purpose of becoming better Alateen members. But because it became so large and unwieldy, in 1970, we divided this conference into three sectional conferences. In the northeastern part of the United States, we now have what is called NEAC, Northeastern Alateen Conference. In the Middle Atlantic states, we have what is called Big Mac, MAAC, the Middle Atlantic Alateen Conference. And in New Jersey and New York, we have a conference that is called Metro. This year, Metro has already had its meeting, and they had over 200 young people at that. Last year, the Big Mac had over 300, and this year they expect over 400. And last year, NEAC had over 400, and this year they expect over 500. So that actually the three conferences will include about 1,200 young people this year. Now, besides those sectional conferences, we preserved ESAC, but we changed the status of the conference. We made it a restricted conference. That is, we wanted to get the kids that were really interested in Alateen to come to this Eastern Seaboard Alateen Conference. We wanted to preserve the interstate flavor, you know. The great thing about ESAC was when you'd have a meeting, the kids from Maine would be hugging the kids from Virginia, and the kids from Pennsylvania would be saying hi to the kids from Connecticut. Well, when we get down to these sectional conferences, like ours, New York and New Jersey, God, we see the New Jersey kids all the time. And seeing a New York kid wasn't that big a bang. So they wanted to see more of the kids from the other states. And so we decided that we would restrict ESAC and that every Alateen group in the eastern half of the United States, that is, east of the Mississippi, and we sent out invitations to all of the groups that were listed in our directory, we invited them to send one GR, or group representative, elected by the teenagers, not appointed by the sponsor now, elected by the teenagers, and then one delegate for every five kids in the group. So if you had a group of 15, you could send four to ESAC. One GR, and then one delegate for each of the five, you know. If you had 14, you could still send three delegates. If you had 16, you could, if you had like 18, you could send four. Well, as it wound up, we had it in Atlantic City last October, and we had 139 delegates from something like 38 different groups up and down the Eastern Seaboard Conference, and about 40 sponsors, and it was a fantastic conference. It was really great. The young people came to have a good time for sure, but also for serious business. They felt very responsible that they had been elected to represent their groups, to be the delegates for their groups, and not knowing really what to expect, and thinking of it more as a typical wide-open convention business, we didn't schedule too many meetings. As a matter of fact, the first night, we had a little kickoff meeting, but then we had a free time to do what you want. We did have a record player upstairs. But the next thing we knew, here were the Alateens in one corner having a meeting, and the post-teens over here having a meeting, and back east we have groups we call pre-teens. These are 8 to 13 years old. And they were meeting. We're having meetings all over the lobbies and all over the halls and in the empty rooms of the hotel because the young people really wanted to get together and exchange ideas with the other young boys and girls from all over the Eastern Seaboard Conference. So it was a whopping big success, and since I've seen Arbutus and Bill, we have made already arrangements to go again to the same hotel in Atlantic City in October, 21, 22, and 23 of October, for our second Eastern Seaboard Alateen Conference. Now, last year, because this was our first endeavor, and because I happen to be the chairman of this Eastern Seaboard Alateen Conference, I made up the program, and I wasn't sure who was going to come, if anybody was going to come. People told me, well, they won't go for that. They either all want to go or nobody wants to go. So just forget it, then. Won't go for this restricted business. And the registrations came dribbling in. Actually, 10 days before the conference was to start, the date, we had 17 reservations. And I'd promised a lady in a hotel in Atlantic City between 150 and 200 people. So I was on a hot seat. And we got on the telephone and made some more contacts. And all of a sudden, boom, in came all the registrations. So we had the conference. It was a whopping big success. And we had representatives there from the World Service Office in New York, our secretary, Timmy Wilson, and the president of our board, or former president, Ted Koch. He was there to hear and to see what Alateen was doing at this new conference, this new type of conference. It was a great one, and I do believe, from what I hear about TAC, that eventually you will get to a similar conference, a restricted conference, here in your state, because your conference has grown from the 135 or whatever it was we had 2 years ago, I understand, to 300 last year and over 400 this year. So it's real thrilling to know that your conference is growing. And we hope that maybe you, too, will get to one of these, again, specialized or restricted conferences or quality conferences is what we call it, because in order to be elected to be a delegate or a GR, the boy or girl that is elected has to be a member of the group for at least 3 months. Talk about teenage problems in a teenage way, in a teenage language, with teenagers, and solve your own serious problems. And as you know better than we can tell you, you've got lots of problems. I guess one of the biggest problems you have is growing up. It's not easy to grow up in this world. You got all sorts of opposition. And unfortunately, a lot of this opposition comes from people who really don't understand you. This is one of the big complaints that most alcoholics have. Nobody understands me. And people who are married to alcoholics, again, are forever saying, nobody understands us. We're a different breed of cats, is the way we put it. Well, nobody understands what it is like to be the child of an alcoholic unless you have been the child of an alcoholic. And so to have this opportunity to get together and to talk about your problems in your way and solve your problems, this is a great privilege, a great opportunity, and we feel this can very well be done in Alateen. When a young boy or young girl grows up and becomes respected by not only their peers but by adults, we'll say, you know, that young fellow or that young lady is really mature. Now, you've all heard this word before, but really that is what is the important part of growing up, is acquiring maturity. We talk an awful lot about this in Al-Anon and in AA too, because alcoholics are very frequently required, are very frequently referred to as being very childish, being babies, crybabies. We who love alcoholics and become very confused, not knowing how to handle them, we resort to childish activities to try to get them to do what we want them to do. Even as you pull little, you know, little tricks on your mom and dad to get them to give you your way. Well, even grown-ups do this, and they act very immature. So maturity really is the goal of most people, and particularly should it be the goal of you who are members of Alateen. Because I say the number one problem in the world today for young people is growing up, is becoming mature. Now, the sad thing is that in their immaturity, some young boys and girls confuse growing up with mimicking, or maturity with mimicking. Young boys and girls think, if I do what adults do, people will think I'm grown. And you know what it's like. You couldn't wait until you got permission to smoke. Can't wait to get the driver's license. Oh boy, the driver's license, you know. Get your own car, have your own money, become engaged in all these things that you see the adults doing, drinking, unfortunately, doing whatever's forbidden. Right now it's the drug scene, that's the big thing. Anything that's not allowed, that's what you want to do, because you figure if you do what you want to do, then you're an adult. Well, that's not true at all. Mimicking or imitating is a pastime that is participated in mostly by monkeys and poll parrots. And if you go to a zoo and you go like this to the monkey, he'll go right like that back to you. And that doesn't make him, you know, a human being, because he can do what you do. And neither does doing what adults do make you an adult. Maturity comes only when boys and girls adopt for themselves a set of basic principles. Practice these principles in all our affairs. Rules of guidance, rules of life, so you can be depended upon, so they can say, well, I know that kid. When I ask him to do something, I can count on him, because he's always does what he's told to do, or I can't count on him because he never does what he's told to do. And that's the kind you avoid. But when you can, they'll say, now that kid thinks things out. Give him a problem, he'll work it out. He'll work it out. I know, I've worked with him before. When you begin to think like adults, or let us say, mature adults, then you will begin to be respected as young men and young women. And what is the shortest motto in Alateen? Think. And you know, thinking is very unpopular today. People don't like to think. This is the age of hurry up and wait, you know. Do things the easy way. This is why we have digests. Don't read the whole book, just read the digest. This is why many people who buy Reader's Digest, which is a lot of short articles, read only the shorter short articles on the bottom of the pages. If you tell a kid today in a history class or an English literature class, we'd like you to read The Tale of Two Cities, the kid will say, I'll watch it in the Late Late Show next Tuesday night. Why read it if I can watch it? Well, reading requires thinking, using of the intellect, the spiritual faculty that we have, spiritual awakening, awakening this faculty of intellect. And people are lazy today. They don't like to do these things. In many homes, the art of conversation is shot. Everybody sits around watching the boob tube. If you come in, they do you a great courtesy, they turn it down. They never turn it off, turn it down. And they watch McHale's Navy over your shoulder while you're trying to converse with them. It's too much trouble to think and to choose words and to form sentences. It's easy just to sit there and sop up information. And that's not very mature. And so Alateen helps you to think. It challenges you to think. And you've got a lot to think about. I like to make this analogy. When we were young, we always wanted to be grown up. And so we did what we thought our favorite grown-ups did. We played cowboys and Indians, you know. You don't see kids going out chasing down the Indians. Only grown cowboys chase down grown Indians. And cops and robbers, most of the robbers in the world, I'm sorry, are adults. They're not kids, you know. And they rob banks, and the cops catch them. And you haven't heard of a 12-year-old cop yet. He's a grown-up. So as boys, we played grown-ups. You did the same thing as girls. Don't laugh at us. You got out of your mama's big heels and long earrings and big hat, and you stumble down the street, and everybody says, look at the little girls playing grown-up. Ha, ha, ha. When they get to be 16, they play grown-up, but they'll belt you in the eye if you laugh at them, you know. Whang. Get a mouthful of knuckles. So you don't laugh at the 16-year-olds. You just laugh at the 6-year-olds, but they're both playing at being grown-up, and it's a game. It's very immature. And so, again, thanks be to God for Alateen that challenges you to think. And what do you have to think about? Just a lot of things, mostly you. You and your relationship to the other kids. Your relationship to your fellow men. Your relationship to God. You have to know you better. Most young people today who are the children of alcoholics have a perfect excuse for everything they do wrong. Why should I, you know, clean up my room? Did you ever see the old man? It looks like a pigsty. Why should I study and get on the honor roll? My old man couldn't care whether I passed or flunked. Why should I comb my hair and wear a ribbon? Do you ever see the old lady? She's a real bum. We keep blaming everything on the poor alcoholics, you know. And the truth of the matter is, you are an individual, and you have your life to live. And it's the only life you can live, yours. And you have to realize that. And look at yourself for what you're worth. And make yourself become the man and woman, or man or lady you want to be. Nobody can make you anything that you don't want to make yourself. People can try to persuade you, they can try to induce you, they can tempt you, but nobody can make you do one blessed thing you don't want to do. And if you want to be good, and this is what you will to do, and you set your mind to it, you can become the better person or the person you want to be. But it's not easy. And easy doesn't mean it's easy to do. It means to do it slowly, easily, patiently, but do it. And that's a challenge. And we are social animals. We do live in a society, and that means other people depend on us, even as we depend on other people. And we have our responsibilities to our fellow man. And Alateen helps us to understand that. And we also have our obligations to Almighty God, the God of our understanding. The challenge is to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understand Him. And it's wonderful to see people turn their life and their will over to God, worship God, go back to the God of their choice. Let me tell you a little story that happened just a week ago Sunday. I was sharing this with Eunice and Gail and Bob and today. I gave a retreat in Denver, Colorado just a week ago, this weekend, to a bunch of AA and Al-Anon men. It was a stag retreat, all men, 35 of them. And the fellow that got the crowd together is a Lutheran. As you know, I'm a Catholic priest. And on Sunday morning on our retreats, the only religious exercise we have on the whole weekend on our retreats is, you've heard of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's the ceremony that goes on in Catholic churches around the world on Sunday morning. Well, I say Mass on Sunday morning for my convenience. If you want to come, you can come. If you don't want to, that's fine too. It's an optional service. But I do invite people to come because I think the Mass is very interesting, and I explain it as I say it. I explain what we're doing, why we wear the vestments, what they all mean. And it's very enlightening not only to the non-Catholics, it's very enlightening to the Catholics because if they learn it, they forgot it, most of them. But anyway, we do that on Sunday morning. And after Mass, I came out, and here's this Lutheran that got the crowd together, and he said to me, Father Fred, that's the most beautiful religious service I have ever attended. And I don't know now, but I don't like to say, I think I had a spiritual awakening in the chapel this morning. Well, I was just about ready to sign the guy up for the Catholic Church. He could hardly wait to get home to call his Lutheran minister to tell him he's coming back to church next Sunday. And that, to me, was wonderful. Because this is the purpose in our program, is to help people to be better whatever they are. To get people to serve God as they understand Him. And this man was a Lutheran. He was raised a Lutheran. But the story was he had an old pastor that was a nice guy. And when the old pastor retired, they got a giggle-happy curate in there as pastor. And this guy couldn't stand the giggle-happy pastor. And so he quit going to church, quit worshiping the God of his understanding, and he wasn't very happy about it. But as a result of the retreat, he's now going back to the church of his choice. And that, to me, is great. That, to me, is ecumenicity. That, to me, is our way of life, our program of AA and Al-Anon and Alateen. And that's what Alateen will help you to do, too, to understand God better, to know God better, and to serve him as you understand him. So I think Alateen is great, and you have a wonderful opportunity to get much from it if you come to it. Alateen is very much like AA and Al-Anon. Alateen, AA, Al-Anon is very much like a bank. You get nothing out of it unless you put something into it. And when you put something in the bank, as you know, you not only get that out, but you get something out with interest. And so Alateen is a great program. Now, what I was asked to come here for primarily was to talk to the sponsors or those who are going to be, we hope, sponsors of Alateen programs. And what I'm going to share with you here is simply what we have done in New Jersey in regards to sponsors in our state. Our New Jersey Al-Anon Intergroup Association was organized in 1965. I was privileged to be the chairman of the Alateen activities for the first 2 years that our intergroup was in existence. And during those 2 years, we inaugurated many things that have carried on to this day, that have been developed, that have been improved. And today, we don't have as many groups in the state as we would like to have. We don't have as many sponsors as we would like to have. But we think the groups that we have are exceptionally strong, very good in quality, and that our sponsors are outstanding. One of the first things I inaugurated after we got the intergroup set up for the Alateen sponsors in New Jersey were Alateen sponsor meetings. And these sponsor meetings are held every 5 to 6 weeks around the year, throughout the year. We get together and we discuss all sorts of problems, all sorts of programs, all sorts of ideas. We try to solve problems. We have in our state now, I brought a list here, I think we have about 28. This is one of the other things we do. We, about every 3 months, put out a new listing of all the groups and the sponsors and the meeting places and their addresses and their phone numbers. Right quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 21, we now have 23 groups in our state, and we have 3 preteens and 1 post-teen. And they're all listed on this meeting list, which we put out again about every 3 to 6 months. This we distribute to all the sponsors so that they'll have a listing of the, and to the intergroup office, have a listing of all the groups, and they're right current. As I say, we change it every 3 months. But all the, now the last meeting we had, I think that was after Arbutus and Bill were east, we had 26 sponsors at our meeting. Now, the, perhaps the reason we had such a large number at this meeting was every, well, about 3 times a year, we have what is called a dinner meeting. And we have we go to a nice restaurant, and we have a dinner. The dinner began at 7:30. The meeting began at 9. We went until 11 o'clock with the meeting. But this, well, it's not a free meeting, a free meal exactly. At every sponsor's meeting, we take up a collection. And we save this money until we have our dinner meeting, and then we use that to pay for the dinner, and whatever is lacking, we pass the basket. And they get about a $4.50 dinner for about a buck and a quarter, so that's a pretty good deal, and that draws them in. But this is a come-on. This is a gimmick to get them to come and to renew their interest. And we had 26 sponsors at our last sponsors meeting. We also, in New Jersey, at every meeting, we have a secretary who takes minutes, and we mimeograph the minutes, hectograph the minutes, and send these out to all of the sponsors who are there and those who weren't there, so that everybody has a listing of the activities that went on at the called meeting. Uh, Now, in regards to sponsors, these sponsors' meetings, by the way, are really proven to be most advantageous insofar as every time we have a meeting, some new ideas come up, some new meeting ideas. People wonder how can you keep the kids' interest going, and every now and then somebody comes up with another idea. One of the things we suggest, for instance, to keep the interest whetted is to exchange meetings, groups exchanging meetings, or to get on up to seek invitations to put on an Alateen meeting at an AA or an Al-Anon group. Now, in preparation for this, we ask those who would like to participate, or we appoint those who will participate in this meeting that's going we're going to take out somewhere, and we rehearse on a tape recorder. We'll say, okay, Jenny, you're going to speak in the fourth step when we go over to Morristown, so you better get something together in the fourth step, and next week we'll practice on a tape recorder. And so Jenny comes in, and she tries her best, and she flubs it, and she makes a few mistakes, and we play it back, and everybody laughs, and she laughs, and she wants to do better, so she give her another week to practice again. And this tape recorder, the kids love to hear their own voice. Everybody loves to hear their own voice. And this is one of the ways we have of creating interest and getting the youngsters to study even more in depth the various steps that they're going to put into practice in their lives. There's always a big question about how do you get kids to join Alateen. Our Alateens believe that parents should make their kids go, not give them a choice, that they should make them go. I attended a meeting in Livingston not too long ago. It was the first meeting. It broke off from our group. It broke off from the Lackawanna group. They had 8 young people at this first meeting. 6 of the 8 young people admitted that they had been made to go to Alateen. They didn't want to go. They were made to go. And their argument was simply, Mom doesn't ask you, do you want to wear a sweater when it's cold? She says, wear a sweater. She doesn't ask you, do you want spinach? She says, eat your spinach or you won't get your dessert. And if she can tell you what you should do in regards to your physical health, go to church. You should go to church. Why, she should be able to tell you what's best for you in regards to going to Alateen. The method we use of getting boys and girls to go to Alateen, most of the Alateen groups that we have are blessed with real good-looking girls and real handsome boys, and so we get the handsome boys to invite the girls to come and the good-looking girls to invite the boys to come, and this works wonders. I was just talking with a kid the other day that came to meetings for 6 months simply because there were a lot of pretty girls in the group. And he didn't know the 12 steps from the attic steps. He couldn't care less. He just liked all those pretty girls. And I would like you to know this kid, I just came in from the California conference, and he spoke on Sunday morning, and I've known this boy about a year, and it's fantastic the change that has come over him, because after 6 months of socializing, he finally got to a realization it wasn't a social club. It was a club to change you to be a better person. So this is another gimmick that we use. Get the good-looking boys, invite the pretty girls, and vice versa. Challenging young people to come, asking them if they're afraid to come, this sometimes works. But anyway, there are many ways of getting people to come to meetings. What about sponsors? We in Jersey believe that sponsors are a must, a very integral and important part of the program. And I would like to, first of all, recommend for your consideration some of the literature that comes out of our World Service office in New York. We have a blue folder that is called A Guide for Sponsors of Alateen Groups. And it has in here, in no uncertain terms, many of the things that we frequently discuss and which you will hear as a decision that was made by our group in groups in New Jersey. Another excellent pamphlet on Alateen is Operation Alateen. You know, one of the sad things about our literature is that people collect it, but people don't read it. It's surprising how many homes you go into and you find the literature covered with dust. And not even cracked. Some of the pages are still stuck together from when it came off the printing press. It is pretty literature, and it makes nice decorations around the house, but it's much more effective if it's read. And when I read for you the suggested requirements for sponsors in New Jersey, and you read this, you're going to say he copied from this blue book, because much of what we say, perhaps more succinctly, is said more elaborately in this blue brochure. So we recommend to you, I guess you've all seen the Do's and Don'ts of Alateen, another good pamphlet, and the Teenagers with the Alcoholic Parent, All of this literature is very good. But because we think sponsorship is so important, and because we believe the one big obstacle to the growth of Alatine in the country is a lack of good sponsors, we in New Jersey have come up with this. And I'm going to read it for you, because I brought copies for the adults who might like to be sponsors, if you'd like to see what we do. It simply says, for the past several years, the Alatine sponsors of New Jersey have met every 5 to 6 weeks to share experience, strength, and hope with each other, all in the interest of making Alatine in their state stronger, more unified, and more effective. And by the way, before I tell you any more, what I'm reading for you tonight was approved by our Alatine sponsors, by our present chairman of Alatine Activities, by our former chairman of Alatine Activities, and of course I was the first one. So this is not Father Fred. This is New Jersey sponsors that are talking to you now. Their number one premise is good sponsors are a must for good Alatine groups. Because many adults blithely volunteer for the role only to relinquish it at the first sign of upset or inconvenience, and because the one thing they do not want, the children of problem drinkers, to suffer is another rejection, the New Jersey Alatine sponsors have come up with the following suggested requirements for all who wish to sponsor Alatine groups in their state. Number one, let them be active members of Al-Anon or AA for at least 1 year. Number two, a trial association with an established Alatine group for at least 6 weeks prior to organizing a new group is recommended. Number three, during the trial period, let them attend sponsors' meetings. Number four, two sponsors are preferable. If possible, male and female, Al-Anon and AA is ideal. Number five, let them know well that Alatine is where adults are seen and not heard. Number six, Alatine sponsors ought never act as chaperones, prefects, or wardens, but only as trusted friends. And number seven, a patient understanding of young people and a sincere desire to help them mature in our program is a must. Now, those are our suggestions. We have found these to be very, very effective. I've said this to people that say, what do you mean 6 weeks? Well, let me give you an example of what we mean. Our group, the Lackawanna Al-Anon group, went out to Cranford, New Jersey here a few years ago, 2 years ago about now, and they presented a meeting at the AA group in Cranford, New Jersey. And this one man was so impressed with our Alatines, with our young people, and the beautiful presentation they gave of this fellowship, he went home to Elizabeth, New Jersey, and gung-ho, filled with zeal, he went into three churches and got three halls, he got three groups of kids, he got three sets of sponsors, and he was all set to go next Tuesday night. And he came to our sponsors' meeting. And we said, that's not the way we do it in New Jersey. You are required to come here for 6 weeks, or go to established meetings for 6 weeks, and come to the sponsors' meetings for 6 weeks before you have your first meeting. He was incensed. You could have fried an egg on his forehead. He was steaming. And only you who are alcoholics know how mad a sober alcoholic can get without getting drunk. And this guy, we just about drove him into the gin mill, I'm sure. And he went out of there. I know he didn't love Al-Anon, and I'm sure he didn't love us. I would like you to know there's not one of the three groups in existence today in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Not one. Three more groups of kids gotten together, promised an opportunity to share and experience strength and hope with each other, promised a new way of life, promised somebody that would help them affect this thing, and all these three groups now are non-existent. And when you approach these young people again and say, have you ever been to Alatine? They'll say, we tried it. The sponsors quit. Nothing happened. We don't want these young people to suffer another rejection. And so we have taken this precaution, and it has proved to be very valuable. Again, nowhere near the number of groups we would like to have, but excellent groups in New Jersey and excellent sponsors in New Jersey. About sponsors, a few ideas quickly, and then we can get to some questions. We believe that sponsors should supply experience and mature judgment that most teenagers lack and are striving to acquire. Experience comes, I'm sorry, with age. It's something that takes a little time, and so does maturity. We find that frequently scout leaders, coaches, guidance counselors, parents of large families make excellent sponsors. I think the thing you have to be careful of is what we categorize as the king of the kids sponsor. This is the adult that is rejected by his peers, that is not very popular in AA or not very popular in Al-Anon. And they quit those fellowships because they're not appreciated. And they try to get a group of Alateen kids that will look up to them because they are bigger than the kids are. And as long as the kids do what he wants them to do, things go fine. But you will find usually that these people are open to compliments, but not very open to criticism. And unfortunately, they usually evidence a great deal of immaturity. And the reason they like being sponsors of Alateen is because they're running the show. And again, Alateen is not where adults run the show. Alateen is where adults are present, are available, assist when they are asked to assist, and direct when it is necessary to direct. But again, as we've said, it is a place where adults are seen and not heard. They are indispensable, and yet, unless a person acts in a proper way, we believe a bad sponsor can be death to any Alateen group. Now, this has been rather a hodgepodge and hit and miss, and I didn't really know who was going to be here tonight, and we did get here late. But we'll be more than willing now to say anything more. I'm sure there are many things I should have said that I've forgotten to say, but perhaps if we just stop now and open this up to questions and answers, we can provide for you some more. That we can share with you again some more of our experience, strength, and hope. So again, we appreciate you asking us to come. We hope that what we have said will not dissuade you, but encourage you to take on this very serious responsibility, very rewarding responsibility, of sponsoring Alateen groups. We need more good sponsors. You don't need to restrict your sponsorship to two to a group. It can be three, four, or five, depending on the size of the group. But again, if you feel inclined to do this thing, I promise you it is a very rewarding experience. So much for what I have to say. Let's open it now for questions. And we welcome the questions from the Alateens as well as from the sponsors. If you were back here. Well, all you need for a meeting, we say, is two people. And there must be some other young boy or girl. If you go back to Wyoming and go to an AA meeting or an Al-Anon meeting, open meeting, you will meet people there who will approach you and say, are you an alcoholic? And you say, no, I'm an Alateen. And they'll say, what's that? And you can explain. And they'll say, well, I have a son or a daughter. You say, well, you know, let's get together. And that's all you need. There's your two to begin with. And then maybe another one, and it'll grow that way. But you can start the group and at least get the kids together, and then seek out somebody who is in the program a while, who is knowledgeable, and who seems to like young people. People who have worked with young folks usually make the best sponsors, I believe. And this, again, would be like people who work with Boy Scouts or in youth guidance or things like that, sports. But you can get the crowd together, and then you can ask somebody to sponsor you. And then send a... Ma'am? Stand up, son, so we can see you. And then when you get enough together and you get your, you know, somebody will write to New York and they'll send you all the necessary literature. Arbutus, you want to add any more?
What part of Wyoming do you live in? Sure. Do you know the Al-Anon delegate from your state? I'll give you her address before you leave.
Another question? Jimmy? We just send them out to the sponsors, Jimmy, but there's nothing secret about them. I'll leave what I brought with me here if you'd like to see what we talk about, you know. I brought some extra, some old copies, you know. I brought the requirements for the sponsorship if you're interested in that. I brought some of our meeting list if you're interested in anything I have here you can have, you know. That's why I brought it, to share with the Texas people if they want it. We're not... Right. Well, what we do frequently, the sponsors will bring a post team with them to sit in. They have sort of an active but not a passive but not an active voice at the meetings. But this has happened frequently. And any young boy or girl that would be interested in sitting through a sponsor, we had at this dinner meeting a couple of kids that were post teens. They wanted to know what was going on. And we've nothing to hide. We're glad to have them come. But most young people aren't interested in sitting there with a bunch of sponsors. But if they want to come, they do come. And frequently, they contribute some real good ideas. Good. Yes, ma'am.
Father Fred, you mentioned sponsors should offer direction where direction is necessary.
Right.
I wish you would elaborate on that. Now, in my own personal experience, we are a very small group, a very young group, and the kids don't know what they're doing.
Right. The lady asks, you know... All right. That I said that the sponsor should supply direction where direction is necessary. If it's a brand new spanking group, you know, if the youngsters have never had anything to do with alcohol, usually in New Jersey, when a new group starts, it's a fragment of another group. We get three or four experienced young people to go out and start a new group. Now, if you don't have that privilege, as this young man would have in Wyoming, then you would have to have, like we call newcomers meetings in Al-Anon, where the sponsor would take over, and for the first even month or two, they would explain the steps. They would explain the mottos. They would explain the traditions, the preamble. They would acquaint the young people with the literature, just to give the kids the know-how. You can't work with the program if you're absolutely ignorant of the program, and we do have a lot of jargon, as you know, in our way of life that other people are not familiar with. Back east, we talk about pigeons. Well, pigeons usually fly. A pigeon back east is a drunk you're dragging in by the back of the neck. He's not flying. He's just about walking, you know. We talk about sponsors, and usually when you say to young people in the school, do you have sponsors, they'll think of the downtown Democratic Club that sponsors the football team, you know, or the bridge club that sponsors the basketball team. That's what they think as a sponsor. We mean no. Sponsors in AA are individuals who sponsor individuals, same way in Al-Anon. In Alateen, a sponsor is the adult who helps to direct the group. So we have to explain what sponsors mean. Inventory. That's a lot of words that we need to explain. Moral inventory. The mottos, that they're not as silly as they look, that they're easy to memorize, but they're not easy to live. So I think for the first month or two, you might have sort of indoctrination meetings. But let me tell you something. We got a lot of smart young people in America. They're not the morons that most people make out as though they are. Our young people are much more intelligent today at 15 than I was at 25 because they have many more ways of becoming intelligent. We were not, we're not given the opportunity to hear radios and television such as our young people have today. So the young people of today are much more intelligent, say the teenagers, than the teenagers were in our day and age. And they grasp things real quickly. And they come up with wonderful solutions because they know what the other kids are going through that we don't understand. They know the kids' angle that we don't get. I don't push this generation gap, but let's face it, we're oldies, and they're not. And they've got problems that we don't understand. And they have solutions that we never had to use because we never had the same experiences. So once they get the gist of it, and they get it very quickly, then you will find one person, one boy or girl in the group who is a little outstanding, and they would make a good chairman of the group. Now, what we believe the sponsor should do is to assist the chairman in setting up the meeting. Okay, you're going to have a four-step meeting. Now, let's take the fourth step. What do you mean by inventory? Let's have all the young people say what inventory means to them. Let's all of them speak about what moral means to them. Searching is not just an adjective that Bill thought up and threw in there. Searching means, it indicates effort. Not just an occasional glance or a quick recollection. Searching, the analogy I usually give is when we were kids and we read about the pirates' treasures, how the pirates searched for the treasure, he had to buy a map and get a ship and get a crew and go to the island and follow the directions, and it took a lot of effort to search for that treasure. Well, that's what searching means. It means effort. Fearless. You know, it doesn't mean, I'm just brave, but a real down-in-the-gut effort to find out what's wrong with us. Inventory of our... So you explain all this to the chairman. You say these are all questions you can ask in the meeting, and then you let the chairman take over. We'll expose some of our secrets here, because the kids should know. The psychology of working with young people is never to unnecessarily correct them in front of their peers. If the youngster says, the fifth step says, make a searching and a fearless moral inventory of yourself, you let that ride. You don't say, wait a minute, Jimmy, it's not the fifth step, that's the fourth step, you know, because it's not that important. Or if he says, when Bob Jones and Bill Wilson, you say, oh, it wasn't Bob Jones, it was Bob Smith. You know, little things like this we let ride. It's only when the people get way off the track that we as chairman should, as a sponsor, should try to bring them back on the track. I, just last week, when Brother, who's the sponsor of our teen group, was on retreat, I sat in at Lackawanna. And all of a sudden, the meeting became a conversation between two outgoing young people. And this went on for about 12 minutes, and I finally said, I thought this was a meeting, not a conversation. They got it just like that. Then they started to go around the room. Let everybody participate, see? Don't let the two outspoken or extroverted youngsters take over. That's all you need to say. The kids aren't stupid. They get it real quick. And you say, you know, this is not supposed to be a conversation. It's supposed to be a meeting. Everybody involved. Sharing. Not just two people conversing. I was up here in Alhambra, California, or up out there, a few years ago. And I was just visiting. I wasn't sponsoring. I was just sitting in on a meeting. And the young people got to talking about goals. And one of the young girls said she didn't have any goals. And the other kid said, sure you do. You're a senior in high school and you want to graduate. Well, she said she didn't think that was a goal, because anybody could graduate from that high school. All you had to do was warm a chair, you know. And the other kid said, that is not so. If you ever have Mrs. Mulligan in French, boy, does she make you study. And if you don't study, you won't pass French and you won't flunk and you won't get... Well, they went on for about... I timed them. It was about 12 minutes. They were discussing whether it took just warming a chair or not warming a chair to graduate from Alameda High School. And I finally said, you know, you kids are nowhere near gold. You're arguing about unimportant things. You know, warming a chair, not warming. And one of the kids says, holy crap, we're way out in the left field without a glove. And he said, will you help us now for the rest of the meeting to keep from going off sidetrack, get away from the point. Goals is what we're talking about, not warming a seat in the high school. So I think this is our job. If you sponsor for a while, you will know how to bring things back on the track without a big to-do. And most of the time, they bring it back themselves. After the meeting, I think the sponsor should get together with the chairman, congratulate them on what they have done well, and then point out any serious mistakes that they may have made. And there's a common tendency among kids to avoid the introverted youngster. And drawing out the introverted youngster is very, very important. And so you have to keep telling the chairman, keep asking Molly, keep asking Molly, keep asking Molly. I told you that. I told this story so many times, I think maybe I've told it in Texas, but I was at a meeting one night, and we were talking about all sorts of character defects. And one of the character defects was procrastination. And the kid said, procrastination? What the heck is procrastination? So I said, well, they asked me, Father, what is procrastination? So I said, procrastination means putting things off, like, you know, not doing your homework, not doing your chores around the house, or not getting up when the alarm clock rings. And I said, if you want to form a real good habit, never argue with an alarm clock, because you always lose. If you say, you know, I'll do 40 more winks, you're always going to be late for school. Well, at the end of the meeting, they have a habit there of going around the room asking kids, what did you get out of the meeting? And about 45 minutes after I made this very astute observation, little Molly, who looks like one of these dogs with the big eyes and long ears and just sits there like she's 6,000 miles away, Molly's observation was, never argue with an alarm clock. That's all she got out of an hour meeting, but at least she went home with an idea, you see. So it's if you ask everybody and make them make an observation, they usually can tell you something they get out of the meeting. I just had a problem in California. Young people were bringing their dates to the meetings, and they were doing their homework at the meetings. And they were coming to the meetings for the socializing rather than the purpose for which the meetings were set up. And I had scored this out of our Operation Alateen, which says, Although most Alateen members are sincere and earnest about their work in Alateen, some groups may lose sight of their purpose. Having found people with whom they can share their problems, they sometimes come to regard Alateen as a kind of social club for dances, picnics, and general fun. Occasionally, a member may even want a friend to join who has no alcoholic problem in the family. Then it says, a study of the 12 steps and 12 traditions will put the members back on the course. If friendships are developed that lead to social activities, they should take place on other than meeting nights. It is wise to set up definite standards for the group to follow with the guidance of the sponsor. A questionnaire sent out to Alateen groups revealed that most felt socializing interferes with the accomplishment of their serious purposes. So we're not against socializing, and if you've ever been to a TAC or any of these conferences, you know we have dances and all sorts of good times and lots of fun. But we also have serious moments in which the socializing is set aside, and we talk about the serious problems. So that says it very well in this little red pamphlet. Other questions? Yes, sir. I think this is something that is good, and I think it's something we should emphasize more. The gentleman asked, what do I think about individual sponsoring in Alateen? I think this is a real good idea, and the more I think about it, the better I think it becomes, because if you have, again, this would be in an established group where you would have young people who could sponsor. But I think asking them to sponsor a new member gives them a feeling of responsibility, of worth, will make them work harder at being good members so they can help their new member. I think it's a real good idea, and I think it's something we have to develop. We have neglected that in the past. I still don't think this would be a substitute for an adult sponsor for the group, but individual sponsoring in Alateen, I think, is an excellent idea.